Sorry to disappoint you. So what was your expectation? Nah, I'm just an everyday dude. Oh, you expected perfection? This is what Christianity is supposed to be like. I make mistakes. Like, lots of mistakes. I'm just trying to do the best that I can do. I guess I'm just imperfectly human. Welcome back to another episode of the Imperfectly Human podcast. I am your host, Mr. Daly. I had a week off last week. It was nice. You know, I want to say it was Easter, but I can't remember. Oh, man, I crack myself up sometimes. I don't think it was. I think Easter was the week before. But, you know how these weeks all blur into one. I think I had planned to kind of take the Easter weekend off, and I didn't. So somehow, some way, I ended up taking last weekend off. And I say last weekend, obviously, I try and do this before I drop it. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? You know there's a schedule in the background. But anyway. How are you guys been doing? How's everyone been doing? I hope you're all well. Hope you had a good Easter. Hope the weeks since then have been good. Hope everyone's doing well, man. That's the crux of it all. So, what are we getting into this week? This week, I wanted to talk about nurturing character and value in children. And obviously, we are going to talk about this as fathers, ladies. No disrespect intended. We're not trying to cut you out the loop. But I feel like my brothers out here need some help. I feel like my brothers out here need a voice in the wilderness. And that's what I'm trying to be for them. I'm trying to be that voice in the wilderness. That person that's going to carry his cross and say it like it is. Talk about the things that we need to talk about. Encourage them. I've been having some entertaining conversations. But whilst those things have been entertaining for me, they have also been disturbing to me, if that makes sense. But we'll jump into that. Before we jump into the show, I'd like to invite you to subscribe to the podcast. If you haven't done so already, what are you waiting for? It's so simple to do. Head over to your favorite streaming platform, search for the Imperfectly Human podcast, and hit follow or subscribe, dependent on the platform that you are using. It would be greatly appreciated. It goes a long way in supporting the show and helps us keep creating great content for you. We are kicking off the show with a little bit of friendly fire. So, me and my boy, he knows who he is, and he's an avid listener of this show. So, shout out to my boy. I'm not gonna expose him. I'm not naming no names. But one thing we discuss a lot, and for me, it links into this week's topic, is we talk a lot about these red pill guys. I think this is his pastime, man, because I don't know how he finds all these videos, all these clips about these red pill guys, but he sends me all these clips and we constantly talk about them. And this week we've been talking about, and I hate to be someone that's, it feels like I'm jumping on the bandwagon, but I promise you I'm not interested in these fools, but it's just it lends itself to what we're going to be talking about today. But this week, we've been talking about there are a couple of guys that he's always told me about. I believe they go by the name of Fresh and Fit, and he's always told me about these two guys and how just dumb the stuff that they say is. And I've always said that you will always get a little bit of truth mixed in with the nonsense and the lies. And that's just fact. So, you know, one of the things that, so a lot of these red pill guys will say, don't date a single mother. They will say things like, and I'm not saying that that's a truth. That might be a truth for someone. And okay, you know, look, you know what? Let's keep it 100. Let's keep it fresh and funky. For some men, dating a single mother is not an option. And I understand that. In my youth, that would have been my stance. And funny enough, I had to, you know, I've had these, you know, not that I'm out here on a dating scene or whatever anyway, but, you know, I've had, me and my wife always have these hypothetical conversations, and me and my boys have similar hypothetical conversations. And when asked this question, at the age that I am now, mid-40s, would I date a single mother? And I had to re-evaluate my answer. Obviously, the answer would be yes, because at this age, if I'm dating someone who is age appropriate, the likelihood that they have children is pretty high. But there are conditions. If there is some crazy relationship between her and the father where, you know, they're in and out of each other's lives still in an inappropriate way, no. If there is any kind of emotional abuse between the two, no. If he is a psychopath, no. It would depend on a lot of things, but obviously the base of it is, of course, I'd be open to it at this age, because dating someone age appropriate would result in that. But I'm not on the dating scene, happily married. So anyway, let's keep it moving. But that's one of the things. The other things they say is you should only marry nines and tens. Again, that is subjective anyway. A 9 and a 10 to someone could be someone else's 4 and a 5 or whatever. It's absolutely relative. It's subjective. As they say, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And to be fair, I think it's a bit shallow scoring someone purely on physical attributes. I've always said that character and personality go a long way in enhancing how you view someone. I've met stunning women who have the worst attitude and personalities I've ever come across, and to me, they are so unattractive. And then I've met some women that people will think are not that attractive, but because of their personalities, their heart and everything, because of their character, they become so much more attractive. And that's just the way it is. I think as men, we have to learn to look beyond the physical. Yes, as men, we are primarily physically driven. We are visual people. We are visual creatures. Men are. We start off visual. If the personality, if the heart, if the character isn't there, a man quickly pulls away. Quickly. Women, don't be fooled by this nonsense that other women tend to spout on social media about how to catch and keep a man. Unless they're secretly men, they don't know what they're talking about. One thing that I'll say is true, a man knows if a man falls in love, he knows within a very short time frame whether you are the one or not. It's not a complicated decision for men. We don't struggle. Well, mature, self-aware men do not struggle with that. We know. We know very quickly whether someone is the one or they are not. So don't be fooled by a lot of the nonsense that people spout. So yeah, so they say don't marry anyone that isn't a 9 or a 10. Don't get involved with sex workers, which is actually good advice in my opinion. But you'll see this one that we're going to talk about is a bit, yeah, it goes left. But that's some of the advice. Men have to be alpha males. Men must make a ridiculous amount of money. Women need to just shut up and be in the kitchen and make a sandwich. They've actually said this, come out and said this. There's some dumb stuff that they say. But the reason Fresh and Fit have been going viral recently is because Fresh, a guy whose real name is Walter, basically broke their cardinal rules. And both Fresh and Fit broke cardinal rules. Fresh had this woman on their show as a guest. She is a sex worker. Clearly. Let me. So both these guys are black, yeah. They don't date black women because they say black women are too much hassle, too much trouble, too ghetto, whatever. They've got these bunch of reasons why you don't date black women. These guys do not mess with black women. I just wanted to put that out there. Clearly their mothers are black. I don't know what their issue is, but anyway. This woman came on their show. This woman is a sex worker. Clearly Fresh found this woman attractive and liked something because Fresh started to mess with her. Now, she said, because these guys talk about, to them, money is everything. They use money as leverage to get whatever they want. And to be fair, cash gives you leverage. In the business world, I'm not going to lie, cash gives you leverage. In most things in life, actually, cash can give you leverage. Cash shouldn't be used as leverage in relationships because it creates an imbalance in the relationship. It creates a transactional relationship, and so on and so forth. There are a lot of reasons why you do not lead with money in a relationship. We can discuss that on another show. But anyway, these guys, so Fresh must have found this woman attractive. Fresh started messing with this woman, and she said she was paying for her own tickets to go to where he was or whatever. Obviously, he slept with her, and yeah, she's pregnant. Now, one of the things they say is that you need to man up and take care of your responsibilities. Fresh is begging this woman to get rid of the child. Now, this could be because she's a sex worker, but hey, your cardinal rule, one of your cardinal rules was never to deal with sex workers. So how'd you drop the ball there? Then she started, obviously this woman also has a personal agenda. She's trying to do something. She's clout chasing, whatever as well. But she starts talking about how he's broke, that it's all a facade. But a lot of these social media influencers are just creating personalities and personas. And a lot of them do not live the lifestyle that they claim. They want to appear more successful, more whatever, because it helps the brand. I get it. A lot of people have done that. It's done on television. It's done on radio. It's done on, a lot of people do it because in order to attract people to your brand, you've got to give off certain vibes, a certain air. So it's not, that is not the surprising part. Anyway, he's telling her to get rid of the child. He's kicking off. He's acting a fool, but it comes down again to just this, you know, stop claiming these red pill guys. Well, it's not even the red pill guys I'm worried about. For me, the red pill guys lack true character and good values because they spout nonsense. They spout BS that doesn't make any sense, but they will sprinkle a bit of truth in it because the truth will catch, people catch on to the little bits of truth in it, and then they are inundated with the foolishness. The reality of the situation is that Fresh succumbed to what a lot of men succumb to, and that's temptation. Temptation of a good time. Because I'm sure she showed Fresh the time of his life. But at the end of the day, you were out here, if you truly lived what you said you lived, you wouldn't have been caught up in that situation. And these guys are notorious for making fun of people, for who they're with, people that are married to black women. There's a couple of other YouTubers that they make fun of because they're married to these black women and they were calling their wives names and stuff like that. They make fun of people that have taken the traditional route, as we would call it. These red pill guys, it's all a persona as far as I'm concerned. Find me one red pill guy that is living what they say and successfully thriving in that space, you know, in with that way of life. Because so far, all I can see is disaster for each one of these people. The other guy on the show, Myron, aka Fit, he was, apparently this guy talks about women being too emotional, etc., etc. So my friend sends me this clip, and this guy is going off, ranting and screaming and acting a damn fool. Being highly emotional. Now, I don't think that... Look, at the end of the day, sometimes our emotions get the better of us. That's human. That is human. But when you go around advertising that as a character flaw, when you do it, you will be scrutinized. And people will have an issue with you. And people will make fun of you. Because you've spent your whole career talking about how women don't know how to check their emotions, women don't know how to control their emotions, women are too emotional, and then you go off and have an emotional rant. Again, like I said, there is nothing wrong with showing your emotions. But when you've branded and positioned that as being a bad thing, when you do it, be ready for the backlash that comes with it. So, anyway, that's what we've been talking about. Me and my friend have been, you know, one, we've been laughing about it. I'm not going to lie. We've been laughing about it because this whole red pill thing, just one, it baffles me. Two, it irritates me. Three, I think these guys, these red pill guys are a joke. And they don't have a grip on reality. But it led me to think, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that their parents didn't, but it's one of the things out here that causes me to drive home values, good characteristics and good values to my children. Since they were young, they've been taught never to discriminate against someone or to treat someone differently because of the color of their skin, because of their background, because of their belief, whatever. Because we've always taught them that God made every single one of us. And whether someone is a believer or not, doesn't mean that God doesn't love them. God loves them because he created them. And although they may not be walking with God at this very moment, it doesn't mean that he doesn't love them. The door is always open. Like the prodigal son, they can return home. So we've always taught them how important it is to treat others with love, kindness, and respect. Don't discriminate against anyone. Treat others how you would want to be treated. You know, the Bible says that the greatest commandment that God gave is love. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. It's a basic rule. And one thing is, you know, I've said this on this podcast before, but I love the way that my friendships have matured over time. And I know my friends, and when I was younger, it's funny, we had this, so me and this friend had this same conversation. But when I was younger, I was embarrassed about my faith. I didn't feel like I'd be accepted for being so outwardly Christian. So I used to tone it down. I used to dial it back. Because, at 16, you still wanted to fit in. You still wanted to be with the guys. And I didn't realize the guys accepted me for who I was. So I kept trying to hide who I was, and I kept trying to put on put on a persona. But at 16, that's understandable. You're still a child. These are grown men. These red pill guys are grown men doing this. But yeah, at 16, you put on a persona. Now, I just say what I need to say. I say it as it is. And my guys resonate with the things that I say, because we're of similar mind. But I will always express what the Word of God says, irrespective of how you may perceive it and how you may receive it. Because how you perceive it is down to you. How you receive it, okay, receive it maybe down to my delivery as well, but generally it's down to you as well. That's your choice. You can shape it how, or you know, take it however you want to take it, but the truth is the truth. I'm not going to mince my words. I'm not going to mix it with no lies. I'm just going to give it to you factually. And when we have conversations, me and my friends, we're constantly talking about, I will always say, this is what the Bible says. This is what the Word of God says. Why? Because I've found no lies in the Word of God. No lies. There was a group that I used to listen to. I don't know what's happened to them, actually. But as a teenager, one of my favorite groups was a group called Grits. And they had... I can't remember whether it was actually the name of the song, but... they said in no, it wasn't the name of the song, but in one of the lyrics in one of their songs was gospel, and it was the acronym for gospel was getting over using spiritual parameters to elevate your level in society. That for me was, yeah, eye-opening. But it's a principle that I buy into. Again, Bible, basic instructions before leaving Earth. I buy into it. Why? Because the Bible says that the Word was, in the beginning, the Word was God, and the Word was with God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Sorry, the wrong way around. In the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Why would I not buy into what is God-given to help us navigate this life? You want to understand what is required of you as a man? It's in the Bible. You want to understand what is required of you as a father? It's in the Bible. You want to understand what's required of you as a wife? It is in the Bible. As a friend, it is in the Bible. As a community leader, guess what? It's in the Bible. Everything to help us live a fruitful life is already in our hands if we are willing to pick it up, read it, and apply it. So when I see this red pill stuff, when I see people like Fresh, I just feel for them. I feel for them because they are lost. I feel for them because they have been so blind. They're so blinded to the truth that is available to them, to the reality of the beauty of the cross. to understand that God created man and woman. He created them both in his image. In the image of God, he created them, both male and female. Genesis 1:27. He made them equal. Yet, he created a structure. Man and woman submitted onto each other. Man submitted onto God as the head, as his head. And the wife submitted onto the husband as her head. As long as he is submitted onto God. You can't submit. You can't expect a woman to submit to you if you don't know how to submit to God. But the Bible doesn't say that it's her responsibility to just submit. It says that whole scripture, I've said it before, it starts off with husbands and wives submitted. Mutual respect, mutual love. Build each other up. You're not finding a slave. You are finding a helpmeet. Someone who will meet you at your point of need and help you to achieve the dreams that you need to achieve, the assignment that's been given to you. Someone that completes you. You're finding your missing rib. Why would you treat your missing rib, the missing part of you, the part that completes you, as lesser than you? But this is what these red pill guys teach. They teach that women, they view women as commodities, to be honest. They view them as, pardon the phrase, but pushing cushions. So they view them as sexual objects. And, you know, let me keep it fresh. Society does push that. It pushes us in that direction because women are over sexualized, not by choice. We've created this society where we've linked the value of a woman to her sexuality, which is disgusting. Our sons and our daughters are the victims of this disgusting trend and behavior that now exists in society. And the cycle needs to be broken because your value is a lot more than that. The Word of God says it. You were fearfully created and wonderfully made. You know, you're not just this object for men to objectify and ogle over and treat as though you're disposable, you only needed for one thing, or any of that sort of stuff. And our young men need to learn that that is not the value of a woman. So, yeah, I take issue with a lot of the red pill stuff. I love the fact that, I shouldn't say I love the fact, but I find it amusing that they can't even stick to their own story. They can't even do the foolishness that they claim that they do. And for anyone that is obsessed with them, that is following them, that is listening to them, that is trying to emulate them, open your eyes. Stop getting caught up in the doctrines of fools. There's a whole world of good, healthy, fulfilling relationships out there for you to explore based on love, respect, mutual love, mutual respect, under submission to God. Come to this side. Come to this side. We'll take good care of you. Let's jump into the main thing. So we said we're talking about nurturing and nurturing character and values in children. I don't think I've ever met any parent that didn't believe in instilling some sort of character and values in their child. Obviously, every parent, we do it by default. But what sort of character and values are you instilling in your child? What character traits are you trying to create in them? Because a lot of the time, we don't realize, but children learn they are sponges. They absorb everything that they see. A lot of the time they learn, not by what we say, but by what we do. They model the character that they see from their parents. So if you are not living the character that you want your child to have, then you're going to have a problem. So I did a bit of digging around, and you know, came up with 8 points. 8 points on why you want to instill good character traits or positive character traits and values in your children. Number one, foundation for life. You want to help them build a strong foundation for their future. You want the right qualities that will shape their attitudes, the way they behave, and the way they make decisions throughout their lives. Obviously, if you have a pessimistic outlook on life, you are going to pass a pessimistic outlook on to your children. If you have a positive outlook on life, you will pass a positive outlook on your children. If you always look at every situation that happens in life as glass half empty, you will pass on that glass half empty mentality to your children. So if you want your children to always be optimistic, you need to learn to always be optimistic. But for the most part, the character and the values that we instill in our children provide the foundation for the way that they will live their lives. So what are the important things that you want your child? How do you want your child to perceive the world? How do you want your child to be perceived in the world? What sort of man or woman do you want them to grow up to be? What sort of outlook do you want them to have on life? How do you want them to treat people? What do you want them to care about? If you love justice, then give them a strong sense of justice. If you want them to care for the weak, pour that into them. Teach them to show empathy. Um, we want them to have a good moral moral compass. So, you know, that would include teaching values such as honesty, compassion, integrity. Those are the things that shape our moral compass. We want stuff that will give them the tools that they need to navigate ethical dilemmas and to make responsible choices in life. So again, if these are things that are important to you, and they should be, because these are things that children are going to face as they mature. And when they are adults, they will constantly be met with ethical dilemmas and a need to make moral choices. So it's important to lead where if these are important things to you, that you want them to have a good moral compass, then teach them honesty, teach them compassion, teach them integrity. These things won't just happen by chance. They're not just going to suddenly pick up these things. Show them. It'll help them in building relationships. So having positive character traits such as empathy, respect, kindness, those are the building blocks of good relationships, meaningful relationships with other people. It says that children who learn to value and respect others are more likely to form healthy and supportive connections with peers, family and society. And yeah, I can agree with that. I believe that when you teach a child how to show kindness, how to respect others, and how to have empathy, you give them the tools to connect with other human beings on a human level. Will there be people that try and take advantage of this kindness? Of course there will be. The people that weren't taught good, you know, positive character traits. But we also need to teach our children discernment so that they learn to separate the wheat from the chaff. Know how to guard themselves against the people that want to abuse them, use them. If we want them to contribute to society, again, we need to nurture positive character traits and instill positive values. Children with these traits tend to, or are more likely to, become productive and contributing members of societies. They're less likely to become degenerates. I think children that aren't taught or given any kind of guidance or moral compass, that doesn't mean that they won't be successful, but they will be underhanded, or they're more likely to be underhanded, willing to attain success by any means, those kind of things. I mean, teaching these positive values, and I think things like help getting them to engage in acts of service, teaching them about volunteering and leadership and how to make positive contributions to their communities. Those are the things that you help them to, that help them to take this, to become contributing, in fact, members of society, and to move forward using these tools that you've taught them at an early age. You can't just expect them to just pick them up. Show them, teach them. resilience. If you want your child to be a resilient person, then you need to pour these positive character traits and values into them. The thing is, life will always, always deal you a rough hand. I guess it just, I don't want to phrase this. In life, I look at life as you take the rough with the smooth. And I can't lie. Honestly, I've felt like I've dealt with a lot more rough than I have smooth. If I'm being fully transparent, I have moments where I think, Lord, why do you keep allowing me to be dealt such a rough hand? I've had moments where I think, man, when is it going to go right for me? Man, when am I going to achieve that thing that I'm trying to achieve? When is it just going to hit? And yeah, I have these moments. But then in those moments, I also remember, wow, I woke up to see another day. Wow, my children did not go hungry. Wow, we were able to do the things that we needed to do and pay the bills that we needed to pay and some more. Wow. We were able to help people out. And I look and I realize that sometimes the things that I worry about are trivial. They are material things that don't matter. The thing with us as human beings is that we can have a tendency to never be satisfied and always want more. Now, there is nothing wrong with wanting more. There is nothing wrong with desiring success. There is nothing more with desiring growth. There is nothing wrong with desiring or wanting to achieve more in your life. But if that thing becomes your primary driver, your focus, your goal, your reason for living, your reason for breathing, you've made that thing an idol. And I've always said, it's a very slippery slope. Idolatry is something that is easy to slip into. Most of us sleepwalk into idolatry. Very easy thing to do. But that's not what this podcast is about. But yeah, resilience. So teaching character traits such as perseverance, resilience, optimism, these are the things that will give your children the skills they need to overcome challenges and setbacks. It's important that children learn how to adapt and bounce back from, I don't want to say failures. Failures, to me, failure is when you fall down and refuse to get up. As long as you have fight in you, you haven't failed. And that's what I always tell my children. As long as you keep getting back up, you haven't failed. You've just learned a new lesson. So These are the tools that will help them to maintain that positive outlook. And I'm not saying that you will have your moments where you're going to feel sorry for yourself. You are going to have your woe is me moments. You're going to have situations in life when the timing just doesn't feel right. But I will always remind you that God is on your side. The best way for me to put it is there is a scripture that says all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord. I believe it is, it's Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. As long as you focus on God, as long as you are just saying, Lord, thy will be done, I think that is the most effective prayer that you can ever pray over your life. Jesus gave us a model for prayer. Whenever the Bible says that Jesus prayed, I pay attention. How can you not pay attention to a prayer that Jesus prayed? So when Jesus walked into the Garden of Gethsemane and prayed, and he said, if possible, may this cup be taken away from me, but not my will, but your will be done. One, it showed that Jesus wanted, sometimes when, we don't want to go through something, it's natural. Jesus was like, look, God, I like hanging with my disciples. I like going around teaching people about you. I like doing what these miracles. I like changing the lives of these people that we created. But I know you sent me here for a purpose. So not my will, but your will be done. If it's your will that the things that are to come happen, then so be it. But we struggle to accept that in our own lives. But it's the most simple and most effective prayer that we can pray. It's funny because I've been reading, so I'm still doing the Bible in a year. I am at the part where Solomon has become king, and it talks about Solomon asked for wisdom. And Solomon went to Gibeon, and he went to the altar of the Lord, and he offered 1,000 burnt offerings. And then the Lord came to sit to The Lord was so pleased with Solomon's offerings, he came to Solomon and said, ask for whatever you want. And Solomon said, God, you have been so faithful to my father. You loved him so much, and you showed your enduring faithfulness and mercy to him. And you have been so faithful that now his son sits on the throne, and you have given me his kingdom. So Father, show the same faithfulness to me that you showed to my father. I ask for one thing, because you have put me as ruler over these people who are as numerous as the dust on the earth. I ask that you give me the wisdom to lead your people. And God said to him, because you haven't come here and asked for wealth or fame, and you've come and you've asked for wisdom to lead my people, I will give it to you. Oh, he said, because you didn't come here and ask for wealth, fame, or even the death of your enemies. You came and asked for the wisdom to lead my people. I will give it to you. And I will also give you the things that you didn't ask for, which was the wealth, the fame, and all of that stuff. The thing is, when we know how to pray, and I'm not saying just now run out there and go, oh God, give me wisdom. No, because God will know that that's honestly not what is on your heart. God is not stupid. You can't pull the wool over God's eyes and suddenly try and put forward this persona of a heart that is turned to him. It starts by learning his character. So you learn to turn your heart to him. And at that point, as you become obedient and pine after the things that are important to God, your prayers will change. And it is at that point that you'll realize that God takes care of all the other needs. Even when they seem impossible, God is in the business of making the impossible possible. I've seen so many documentaries, and I will get back on track, so give me a second. But I've seen so many documentaries where people try to discount the things that God has done. And they try to say, oh, they were natural events. And, you know, yeah, the tectonic plates moved and shifted, and that's what made the dry land appear and all of this stuff. And I was like, the wisdom of man will be the downfall of man, because we seek to understand and explain everything about God, that we will come up with our own hypotheses. But if God were that easy to understand, then why would he be God? And I'm not saying to just, you know, there are people, I'm not saying to not ask God to make himself real to you. Because people think that as Christians, we're just saying, hey, just accept it. It is what it is. God says that, you know, God opens, he opens the door for you to come and ask him for anything. Why don't you ask him? Show yourself as real to me. That's a request. But we're so quick. When we do believe, the first things we start to the things we ask for are selfish. Again, human nature, because human nature is desperately wicked. We think about selfish things. Why aren't we asking, show yourself as real to me? Reveal to me the truths of how to worship you in spirit and in truth. Reveal to me the secrets of living a life that is pleasing to you. Back to my favorite scripture that I love to quote to you guys. Seek first the dominion of God, and everything else shall be added on to you. Seek first the divine rule of God, and everything else shall be added on to you. It's important to focus on what is important to God, and then everything else falls into place. So back to topic. Resilience. How did I develop resilience? I've been through the fire. I've been through pain. I've been through wanting, longing. I've been through the pits. And in all of that, I've seen the light of Christ. I've seen that I needed to stop focusing on me and focus on God. I've seen that I needed to take my eyes off what I am chasing and what I am pursuing and pursue God. Let God handle what God handles. And if for some reason it doesn't work out the way that I would like it to work out, I need to just thank God and keep it moving. When David and Bathsheba's first son was sick, because the prophet Nathan came and said, because of the wicked thing that you have done, God has said that this child shall not live. He pleaded and begged with God. He put on sackcloth. He didn't eat. And he knelt there before God. But when they came and told him what they didn't even tell him. They were whispering. And he knew that the child had died. He got up. He bathed. He shaved. He put on clothes. And he ate some food. And his advisors were baffled. And they said, when the child was sick, we couldn't get you to do anything. But now that he's died, you're eating. And David said to them, you know, the Lord's will has been done. And I have to accept it and move on. The thing is, And then the son that came after that child was Solomon, who we're talking about, who I was just talking about. So God, you know, God's will is God's will. But God's will for us is not bad. He wants no evil for us. He has good and perfect things planned for us. But we have our own desires and we have our own plans and we have our own wishes and things and wants. And sometimes the things that we desire just don't align with God, what God wants for us. That doesn't mean that God was wrong. That doesn't mean that God's will was wrong. God's will is perfect. Anyway. So personal fulfillment. So embodying positive values brings a sense of personal fulfillment and satisfaction. Children who act with integrity show kindness and strive for excellence, experience a great sense of purpose and well-being in their lives. I believe that. You know, you help children create a positive outlook. It will, if you live a life with integrity, if you strive for excellence, And I say strive. Doesn't mean that you always achieve it. But if that's always your goal, you're definitely more satisfied than if you just choose to just exist and float through life. So we've talked about this. We've talked about being role models. So parents, caregivers, and educators play a crucial role as role models for their children. For children, by consistently demonstrating positive character traits and values in their own actions and interactions, adults can inspire and reinforce these qualities in children. So I told you, children, they soak up what they see. Children are imitators of their parents. Why did me and my wife choose to homeschool? Because we wanted to be the greatest influence on our children. We wanted to be the ones they spent the most of their time with, so that we could instill godly characteristics in them. We could instill godly values in them. We could teach them positive, Bible-based values for life. But how do we do that? We need to lead by example. We need to live those values ourselves. We need to demonstrate those same things in our lives to ensure that our children can pick up these same characteristics and these same traits and model them in their lives. And ultimately, we want them to create a better future. So by instilling positive character traits and values in children, it helps to create a better future, a better society as a whole. Children grow up with a strong sense of morality, empathy, and responsibility. They're more likely to contribute to a world that is characterized by compassion, justice, and peace. I would say that by instilling biblical principles in children as well, we will create a future based on what God desires. Because all of these things that were listed, they are part of the characteristics that God wants in us. So why do we as men, I know I've been talking about the characteristics and stuff, but why do we as men struggle with this? Time constraints. Again, a lot of fathers, we struggle with demanding workloads, demanding schedules, responsibilities, and the thing that tends to suffer the most is our time with our children. I try and make a habit of taking my children with me to places when I can. Wherever I can get that quality time with them, I take it. I have to catch myself when I'm being my usual introverted self, which is just wanting space for myself and being alone. Because if I allow that to dominate me, I won't spend as much time with my children as I should. So we have to find a way to overcome the time constraints, make space, sacrifice some of that. I'm not saying sacrifice all of your alone time, but sacrifice some of that alone time to make time to be with your children, to speak to your children, to tell your children about the world, to tell your children about how much God loves them and the type of character that God wants them to have. The change in family dynamics also present a challenge. Some fathers are not full-time fathers. And again, that creates a time constraint, meaning they have limited time to spend with their children and to instill those values in their children. it makes it challenging. We've got the influence. Another challenge out there is the influence of media and technology. So social media is probably one of the biggest impacts on the character and values of children. There are so many lies being pumped out by social media that children can't help but be influenced by these things. And we need to stand up and fight against these things. There are a ton of lies on every social media platform. Some of these platforms are disturbing. Some of these platforms are built on what I call a disturbing principle. And I'm just going to single it out because it has always disturbed me. But Snapchat, that idea of disappearing messages, it positions itself as a platform for the younger ones. But disappearing messages opens the door for all kinds of things, because it's not just children that are on that platform. So it opens up the doors for grooming, it opens up the doors for bullying, illicit drugs being sold to children, all sorts of things. More needs to be done to crack down on platforms like Snapchat. And you need to be careful, because it's out here allowing people to post all sorts of content, masquerading lies as truth. So if we're not having the conversations with our children, if we're not educating our children, if we're not guiding our children, social media will. We've got peer pressure and external factors to deal with. Obviously, kids are in schools. Schools is where they spend the majority of their day. So their interaction with other children and picking up on the behaviors and the values and the characteristics of those other children will happen. They emulate what they see. So you have to, again, be that guiding light, that lighthouse that helps them stay on the right path. Use the word of God to help you to guide your children on the path that they should follow. The Bible says that teach a child the way that they should go, and when they are older, they shall not depart from it. Balancing authority and connection. This is one. A lot of parents struggle because they want to be a friend to their child. And then when something happens, they suddenly switch back to parent mode. And this confuses their children. The thing is, parent mode comes first. I'm not your friend. I'm your parent. Point blank. That doesn't mean that we can't have a good time together. That doesn't mean we can't laugh together. That doesn't mean we can't share things and all of that stuff. But the reality of it is, my job is to guide you, to prepare you for the world, to teach you, and to instill good character and values in you. Therefore, that comes before anything else. I think the problem is that sometimes when we put the parent hat on, we forget to lead with love. Just because we are wearing the parent hat, the authority hat, doesn't mean that we don't lead with love. If we lead with love, even in the moments of authority, we will still find connection. It's not about just barking orders or barking commands at your children. And it's very easy to slip in and out of that. I'm not going to lie that I make that mistake sometimes, that sometimes I'll be so frustrated and I would just say, don't argue with me, just do what I tell you to do. That's not the way to do it. I always try and have conversation and explain to my children. I don't always get it right. And like I've said, I've made the mistake that sometimes in frustration, I bark orders at them. But I try to lead with love. Because if I lead with love from a place of authority, I will still build the connection. The next one is the challenge is that we don't model the behaviors ourselves. So how do we model these behaviors for our children? If you are not living what you are preaching, then how do you expect your children to go forth and do the things, or, you know, to develop the characteristics and the values that you desire when you can't even demonstrate them? Live it. Don't just preach it. Live it. You know, I pride myself on integrity. I pride myself on being able to empathize with people. I pride myself on being kind to others and having a giving heart. But I'll say that my wife outdoes me in the giving heart space. She's way more giving than I am. But I'm glad because we have our different strengths. I would probably say that I've got more in the resilient space than she does. So where I'm weak, she's strong. Where she's weak, I'm strong. But we model these things for our children so that they get a balanced view. And they will grow with their own strengths and weaknesses. And by God's grace, their partners will balance them out. Last one says keeping up with changing values. I don't believe in keeping up with values. I believe in upholding Christian values. I believe in having a heart of understanding. I believe in, again, being empathetic. But for me, stand on biblical values. Do not compromise on your faith, because opening the door of compromise is what's led to the decay of society. There are simple truths that if we believe as Christians, we need to stand for and fight for and defend. It's our right to stand and defend our faith. So speak up. Speak up when you see injustice. Speak up when you see discrimination. And most importantly, speak up when you see discrimination against the body of Christ. Why would you? It's like a victim not speaking up against their abuser. If we are the victims, let's speak up. We have a right. We have a voice. Let's use it. So what are the values that God expects from us? Number one, love. Love for God, love for others, self-love foundational principles. You can find this in Matthew 22:37-39 and 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. Compassion. So showing empathy and mercy towards those who suffer and are in need. And some scriptural references to help you in this. Matthew 5:7, Colossians 3:12. Kindness. So being generous, considerate and helpful towards others. And again, for reference, Ephesians 4:32, Galatians 5:22-23. Humility. Demonstrating modesty and respectful attitude towards oneself and others. Philippians 2:3-4 and James 4:6. Integrity, which is honesty, sincerity and moral uprightness in all areas of life. So look at Proverbs 10:9 and Psalms 15:2. Forgiveness. So a willingness to forgive others as God has forgiven us. Such a big one. Ephesians 4:32, Colossians 3:13. Faithfulness, which is loyalty, reliability and steadfastness in commitments and relationships. 1 Corinthians 4:2 and 2 Timothy 2:13. Generosity. So giving freely of your time, resources and talents to help others. 2 Corinthians 9:6-7 and Luke 6:38. Gratitude. So recognizing and appreciating God's blessings and expressing thankfulness in all circumstances. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Psalm 100 verse 4. Patience. That's the endurance and perseverance in difficult situations and with difficult people. Woo! We need a lot of that. Romans 12:2, James 5:7-8. Wisdom. Seeking and applying God's wisdom in decision-making and actions. Proverbs 2:6. James 1:5. And justice. Upholding fairness, righteousness, and equality in dealing with others. That's Micah 6:8, Proverbs 21:3. Peace, pursuing harmony, reconciliation, and tranquility in relationships and situations. Matthew 5:9, Philippians 4:7. Hope, trusting in God's promises and having confidence in His faithfulness. Romans 5:13 and Hebrews 10:20-23. Diligence. So consistent effort and perseverance in work, service and spiritual growth. It's Proverbs 10:4 and Colossians 3:23. Contentment. Being satisfied with what one has and trusting in God's provision. Philippians 4:11-12, Hebrews 13:5. Modesty, so cultivating humility and modesty in appearance, speech and behavior. 1 Timothy 2:9-10 and 1 Peter 3:3-4. So these are just some scriptures to help in that space. But you know, it's important that we learn these things. And there were some additional scriptures that I wrote down. I'm not sure if I've called this out already, but Romans 12:2 always stood out to me. And it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. remember I said to you that just learning to seek God's will and to be content with God's will is the most important thing. Yes, it's okay to have your own desires and things that you want, but if they don't work out, understand that it was God's will that it ended the way that it ended. Learn to be content with it. I'm going to leave it there. I did have a few other things noted, but I'm conscious of time. It's important that we learn to instill these characters in our children, instill these values. It's important. I'm not gonna say more than that. It's a wrap. So that's the end of our show. I want to thank you for tuning in to another week of the podcast. Listen, I'm not trying to be like here, there, and everywhere, and you know, popping up. Popping up here, you know, occasionally and whatever. So apologies when I do disappear. It's not intentional. But sometimes family life happens, or it may just be that I need a bit of a break. But I will always pop back. I will always come back. It's not I'm not gonna do that thing of disappearing for 2 years again. So you know what? I'll try and give you guys a heads up when I'm not going to be around. I'm not going to lie. Sometimes it happens and, you know, it's not planned and I'm just not here. So I can't give you a heads up on that. But if I do need a break, I will tell you that I'm taking a break. It's that simple. Anyway, back onto what we've talked about. Listen, if you're out here following some red pill guys, please. Drop that nonsense and come over to this side. Leave that side and come over to the good side. Be careful what your children are listening to, because young people are being influenced and getting sucked into this whole red pill life. And whilst it seems appealing because these people are presenting this lifestyle that they do not live, let me reiterate that, they do not live. It's so easy for young people to be sucked in and think that that is reality. So let the example of some of these people be a lesson. And I say that to say this, it's so important that we learn to instill the right character in our children and the right values. But the best way to do that is to demonstrate it. Demonstrate a good Christian walk. Demonstrate biblically sound character. Walk the way that God desires for you to walk. That's all you need to do. They see it, they emulate it. So drumming it into their heads, or you know, trying to bash it into their heads in however shape or form, it's not the way to go. Demonstrate it and reinforce it with the word of God and seal it in prayer. That's my advice. Demonstrate, show, and seal in prayer. So I'm wishing you all the success in the coming week. I look forward to catching up with you again next week. But for now, I've been Mr. Daily, and I'm out. Well, I'm always Mr. Daily. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Imperfectly Human podcast. Remember to subscribe and share this podcast. You can do this on your favorite streaming platforms.